Thank you to the youth choir for assisting and also helping lead us in worship this evening. I invite you to open your Bibles to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. Be reading through verses from chapter 7 and reading through verses 11 through 16. I notice, sometimes I travel from church to church, and each church sometimes has its preferred version. One of the things that you'll notice when you look at different versions of the Bible, even though the translations may vary, there are also sometimes some editorial choices of where a section or what we might call a pericope begins or ends. And I noticed that as I looked at the text this evening in the Pew Bibles, it might seem to be a little bit of an irregular split. But I think you'll see that as we read, it will make sense together. Also, as an additional note, we'll be using it as our time of confession. But if you want to follow along, say, an outline, per se, of what the sermon would be, I'd invite you to look at volume one of What We Believe in your Pew Bibles, and then turn to page 70, and that would be Lord's Day 48, question and answer 123, and as I mentioned, we'll be using that for our profession of faith a little bit later on in the service. As we prepare to hear God's word, let's pray together. Lord God and Heavenly Father, you have given us your word contained to us in Scripture, in books we call Old and New, Old and New Testaments. But it is a living word, a word that transcends time because it is inspired by your Holy Spirit. Now, too, we pray for your Spirit's continued presence. Speak to our hearts. Teach us, lead us, comfort us, guide us, convict us in the way that your Spirit chooses. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7, beginning at verse 11 and reading through verse 16. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open, and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house, so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. People of God, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Just a couple weeks ago, we observed the Reformation, or the celebration of Reformation Day, the beginning or the celebration of the Protestant Reformation. And we think of the work of some of those reformers, Luther, John Calvin, Zwingli, Melanchthon, and even before those, people like John Wycliffe or Jan Hus and many others. But yet, ultimately, we don't give thanks for people. We give thanks to God for the eternal truths which the Reformation reminds us all. We talk about the solas, and it's good for us to remember that we are saved by grace alone, saved only through the work of Jesus Christ, accessed by faith alone, revealed by Scripture alone, and all of this solely. for God's glory. I thought of this as we have read this passage this evening from 2 Chronicles. It is a beautiful response of God to the dedication of the temple that Solomon built for the presence of God in Jerusalem. And as we look at the text, as I mentioned before, I'm going to use the catechism as a framework for the different points or the moves of the message. And then secondly, I'm going to use what we call a reformed principle of interpreting Scripture with Scripture. So I'll be using a lot of texts this evening to provide a foundation for the things that I have to say tonight. So as we begin, we read that Solomon gave thanks, prayed for God's presence to dwell with the people, to put down any threat, whether it be through unbelief of the people or invasion by others. And as I read this passage, I am reminded that often we maybe only access or think of this passage or read this passage when we pray for our own nation during times of, say, a national day of prayer, or a holiday like Memorial Day or Veterans Day, the 4th of July. We might think of this passage before an election or even immediately after one, as it is, or some significant event in our country. And while certainly we would agree that it is good to pray for the healing of our nation, I want to encourage us to remember to not to limit our vision of the kingdom of God being bound to one country or nation. We pray for God's presence and the inbreaking of the eternal and boundless kingdom of God. This is a kingdom which Jesus has described, but from which all of the events of this world often distract us. You see, the kingdom of God is revealed in His church, the gathering of believers. This kingdom is made from every race and tribe and nation who will one day stand before the throne of God and worship. And this kingdom is shown and revealed in the hearts of God's people. So as we hear this passage today, let us, through Scripture, see that God has something much bigger in store than what we often limit ourselves to considering. You see, we pray for God to rule us by His Word and Spirit, and in such a way that more and more we submit to Him. Going back to the text, Reformed theology is helpful when we read verses 13 and 14, going back to my seminary days and my formal seminary education, one of the primary texts that we were often referred to through all of my classes or all of my years in seminary was Louis Burkhoff's Systematic Theology. He writes about the kingship of Jesus Christ in his Systematic Theology. He reminds us that in the Old Testament, the kingdom of God was represented by the nation of Israel, where ultimately God was king, and that the earthly kings of Israel were appointed to represent the true ruler and carry out God's will. The nation of Israel was the visible representation of God's people. But as Burkhoff reminds us, and here's a quote from Burkhoff, says, Israel was a church of the Old Testament, and its spiritual essence constitutes a unity with the church in the New Testament. That the reality of the kingdom, truly, if we talk about the church, was found not in national borders, but within the hearts of believers. And that transcends from old to new, from Israel to the church. Burkhoff alludes to what we might remember from an old catechism lesson of the visible and the invisible church, of the visible church gathered, but the invisible church to whom God has called His people and knows by name. And there is this connection that we hold. It is the church, the body of believers who are citizens of God's kingdom. And we worship together as part of Christ's church. And we are ruled in word and spirit to submit ourselves to Jesus in everything that we do. And we are guided through God's word and encouraged to seek after his kingdom. This from Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. A little bit later from the New Testament, from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this in Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We pray for Christ's kingdom. And we also pray that the Lord will keep his church strong, to preserve it, to make it grow. One of the key points of the Reformation was a reminder that while priests had a function to shepherd God's people, they were also intermediaries that were needed for the people to have a relationship with God. The Reformation changed this and reminded us that while priests were shepherds, each one of us now were individually empowered, encouraged to pray to our Heavenly Father directly, because Christ has restored our relationship to God. God knows us each by name. And Christ has bridged the chasm of sin. We are each called to humble ourselves, as we read in the text, to pray, to seek after the Lord, to turn from sin and wickedness. When we approach the throne of God with that posture, we're promised forgiveness. We're restored into right relationship with him. In the Old Testament, we might say, as part of the old covenant that God had issued with his people, when people follow the Lord, there was a direct correlation that there was peace and blessing for the nation. And when they disobeyed, God promised punishment. As we read in the book of Judges, when everyone did as they saw fit, the nation declined. We certainly can see evidence of this in our own world. Yet Scripture tells us not to put hope in rulers and nations of this world. I always think of that hymn, Praise the Lord, Sing Hallelujah. I love the line that says, put no confidence in princes, nor on human man depend. Ultimately, our hope is not found in political parties and governments. Remember, as we read from Philippians, and this is from Philippians 3, verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. But as God's people, let's pray for the strength of his church. May we pray for churches to serve well, for congregations that attend there. May we pray for the church to grow. May the outward observance of faith be visible evidence of what God is doing inwardly through the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And what he is doing inwardly, may what is shown be an outflow, an overflow even, of what he's doing. May our greatest desire be to see the church strong, that we take the Great Commission seriously as well. Through our word and our witness, may people know that Jesus Christ died for sinners and that Jesus Christ saves. And when the church functions as the church is called to do, the gathering of believers grows and becomes salt and light in the world. Contrary to the opinion of some, when the church lives out its calling, The world does benefit. In the text that we've read this evening, ultimately the greatest reward for the people was when they humbled themselves and sought after God. And when they sought after God, certainly perhaps material wealth or earthly peace was part of the blessing. But what was truly desired was a relationship and a continued presence of a God among and with the people. The desire was a restored and whole relationship. And when we are in right relationship with God, we find a holiness as well as a wholeness that we can't achieve by other means. In the light of a right relationship with God, God's priorities become our priorities, and we point ourselves to the final work where sin and Satan are destroyed and death and sadness are no more. When we pray for the Lord's kingdom, we ask, too, that he destroys all of the devil's work. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force that revolts against the Lord. Destroy every conspiracy against your word, as it says in the Catechism. I love the words of Paul, which so clearly summarizes and gives us direction. This is from 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and through 5. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. In the battle against sin and Satan, let us be properly armed. To do this, we use the weapons with which the Lord equips us. This is from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. As followers of Jesus, let us use the principles of the Reformation to guide us. Remember, we are saved by the gracious love of God, not by the work of our hands. We are saved through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, trust in God, and a thankfulness for the Holy Spirit. And in faith, we can have the conviction that God will see his plan to completion. And we can have assurance that we are firmly held by God. As we look back to the text that we had this evening, we know the story of Israel. It seems, as we look at verse 13, that God already knew the people would walk away, would disobey, would seek after other gods. It wasn't if I shut up the heavens, it's when. But there is always the promise of hope, the promise of forgiveness. Ultimately, that would be fully revealed in Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ when we call upon his name and humble ourselves. It is through his poured out blood, his body given as a sacrifice for us. He was our substitute, is our substitute. He took the penalty of sin that we deserved, but by his wounds we are healed. Be guided by God's word. God's word that powerfully, infallibly shows us how that we might be saved, and tells us the gospel, it is sufficient and the only source which can teach us the means by how we can be saved. but also how we may have hope for this world. And to encourage and remind us of the promise of the restoration, the new creation, when Christ makes all things new. Let's remember to be saturated, guided by His Word. In our media-rich environment, we can read all the books and articles and blog posts that are available. But let us realize their limits. They can provide us with insight only as much as they reflect a knowledge and a submission to the principles and the teachings we have in the inspired Word of God. As always, let us be shaped by Scripture rather than to attempt to shape Scripture and to manipulate it into something that we would like it to say. And ultimately, this is not for our own benefit. It is for God's glory and for His glory alone. May our prayer increasingly grow into a crescendo, asking for the kingdom to come. May God bring His kingdom to its completion, and that all boundaries and barriers are removed so that God is within it. All in all. And may part of our prayer be, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In the text, God assures the people if they humble themselves and pray that He will forgive and heal. He gives the promise then of His presence dwelling within the temple, that His eyes and heart will be there forever. In Chronicles, as we've read, as long as the people were faithful, He says, He would bring forgiveness and healing. We long for the day when Christ comes again and makes all things new. When the kingdom of God reaches its fulfillment. This is something, as we see the revelation of Scripture and see how the Scripture unfolds for us. We do not look forward as God's people to a new temple being built, a place that we can travel to where God's presence will be. We remember from Scripture that there will be no more temple to dedicate. We read this in the book of Revelation. This is Revelation chapter 21, the first line, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of the Lord gives its light. The Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought to it. Nothing impure will ever enter into it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Where I serve at Dort, we talk a lot about being agents of Christ-centered renewal. But let's understand that well. Sometimes I think, as we think about our accomplishments and what we can do, let us be reminded that as believers on our own, we can't renew anything. But we are agents and ambassadors, representatives who are to be a reflection of what Jesus, of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is already doing. We are simply given the privilege, and the high privilege at that, of joining in that work. But let us bear no illusions that by our hands, that we can, by our own work, make this place in which we live a heaven on earth. A place of perfection, if we just try hard enough. If we figure out the right equation. If we're strong enough. is Christ's kingdom that we look forward to. However, as part of the body of Christ and those who reflect the image of God, we can provide glimpses to the world to show them what the new creation might look like. In all areas of life, we seek and to look after and work towards what God has intended the Creator to be before sin spoiled it all. But only when Jesus comes again in the new creation will we truly know the world as He intended it to be in its fullness. This evening, give thanks that we know Jesus. Give thanks that through Jesus we have access to the Father. Give thanks that through Jesus He has given us the gift of the Counselor, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who guides us and leads us, who brings us through this work of sanctification to draw us closer to Christ. And if we, along with those who have gone on before us, seek out God's face in humility and repentance, God will surely bring healing. And freely we will be forgiven, and we can join together before the throne of God in His kingdom with thankfulness to the King of Kings. To God alone be the glory. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You once again for Your word and a reminder to us of the promises that we have in Jesus Christ. We're thankful for Your presence through Your Holy Spirit. We look forward to the day, to the new kingdom, where, Lord, Your presence is all in all. And we can stand in Your presence through the saving work of Jesus Christ. In the meantime, Lord, help us to be witnesses. May we be reflections of what is yet to be. And Lord, in the places where You call us, help us to seek Your face and to bring healing until all is made whole and full when Christ comes again. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.